Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Wine, the 11th commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever had dating problems? Of course, we all have. Would you like to learn more about having a successful relationship? Of course, we all do. Have you ever wanted to know about dealing with divorce? That's a very tough topic and a very difficult situation. Can you imagine discussing sexual enhancement? Oh my gosh, my husband's going to listen to this segment. Tell me, do you know what it means to be romantically challenged? So many of us do. Have you ever heard about a man called the dating doctor? Or have you ever heard a book about called Making Relationships Matter? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to date smart? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I will be introducing you to my guest. He is a success coach extraordinaire. He will provide us with wonderful, informative, inspirational lessons and some really, really great, amusing advice. I'm pleased to announce that our show is live on Talk4 Media at iHeartRadio with over 50 million subscribers. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure. Also, LinkedIn announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed during last year. Now, let me tell you about my guest today. He is known worldwide as the Dating Doctor. He has been honored 14 times as the National Speaker of the Year, 10 times by the Campus Activities magazine, and 3 times by the National Association for Campus Activities, and was honored as the 2011 National Entertainer of the Year. He is highly sought after speaker, author, entertainer, radio and television personality. I am pleased to welcome to the show the dating doctor, David Coleman. Hi, David. How are you doing?
Hi, dear. Thank you for such a wonderful introduction. Thanks very much.
Oh, I'm so thrilled. I want to share with my listeners that I met you earlier this year at Vincennes, Indiana, at the Red Skelton Museum, and we were at a conference for the AATH Association, and David was one of the speakers, and he was fabulous. It was such a delight. Is speaking something that you did naturally as a child, David?
I come from an entertainment family. I'm not remembering the movie right now, but it was a movie that was set with Patrick Swayze and Don't Put Baby in the Corner, and I think it was Dirty Dancing. I think that's the name of the movie.
It was set at
a resort. Remember that movie? Well, my family owned a resort like that growing up. It opened up on Memorial Day. It closed on Labor Day. From Memorial Day to Labor Day, on a nightly basis, I was part of the live stage show, so that's how I became an entertainer. And during the day, I was the activities director, helping people have fun. So when I tried to form a career, I wanted to do something that would help people and be entertaining, and somehow I became the dating doctor.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, you know, our family, we used to go to the Poconos every summer, and the entire family would go and stay at a wonderful place called Woodlock Pines. And every night they had entertainment and talent shows, and it was just a fantastic experience for us. And what an amazing way for you to grow up. Now, where were you born and where were you raised?
I grew up in Canton, Ohio, which is where the Pro Football Hall of Fame is. The resort that I'm speaking of was in South Haven, Michigan, which is not far from Grand Rapids, Benton Harmer, Calvin Zoo, and it was right on Lake Michigan. So,
oh, wow.
I had the best of both worlds, and my mm-hmm. aunts and uncles were, my uncle was a world-class tenor at the time, and I just grew up, and my father was a boxing and wrestling commissioner who was also a ring announcer, and so before there was Michael Buffer, there was Marvin Coleman as a ring announcer, and that's how I became what I was doing.
So now when you look back on what a fascinating childhood, and you did all of this at the camp during the summers, right?
Right. It was more of a resort. It was it wasn't a camp. It was influential people came, senators, congressmen came. I mean, and people would, you'd get one family who'd, you know, you check in on Saturday and then the next, you leave the next Saturday. And I think it also helped me with my dating life, because when I was a teenager, you'd have your old Saturday girlfriend leave and your new Saturday girlfriend would check in with her family. So
that way no one could get too tired of each other. There was a quick turnaround. I love
Absolutely.
That. Now, when you were growing up, share with us who your early mentors were, and did you have siblings? Did they entertain, or were you the one who had it in your DNA?
Well, my sister, I am 11 and 13 years younger than my sisters. I was told I was an after poker game mistake. My father won a lot of money at a poker game, came home a little amorous, woke up my mom, and there I came. So there I was. So my sister, when she was 18 years old, she was a world-class guitarist, and she actually, way before this was popular to do, she kind of went on her own to New York City and cut an album, and so she was very, very talented. And my aunt and uncles, my aunt and uncle that ran the resort were world-class entertainers. They sang every night in front. And it's just, it becomes a part of what you do when you're around charismatic people and when you're around talented people. If you're smart enough to learn from them, it can become habit for you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Now, are you a singer, or are you, I noticed when you did your speech at the Red Skelton Museum, there was so much humor in your speech. It was so well done. Do you also sing?
I don't sing. As a matter of fact, we were at an outdoor festival yesterday as a family here in Cincinnati, and I sang, and everyone turned around and said, "That's why you're a speaker." So I guess I appreciate your comments. AETH is a wonderful organization, and it's awfully easy to be good in front of an audience that's bright enough to get the material you're sharing. So that was the best of both worlds.
Well, when you perform, tell us really where your passion is, because you do author, entertainer, radio, television, speaker. What are you most passionate about, and what do you enjoy doing the most?
I guess I would have to say I am most passionate about helping individuals live more satisfying lives by having better relationships, whether that's dating, whether it's relationships, whether it's marriage. I don't care whether it's same-sex. It doesn't matter. But if I see one more headline where a youth gets broken up with and takes their own life, or a person who gets divorced can't handle it, or one of our troops comes back from their mission and they find that their husband or wife has left them and they take their own life, that's where my passion comes from. If I can save one relationship, one family, one person, that's what I want to do.
Okay. And how did you come up with the brand, The Dating Doctor?
When I was my first job out of grad school, I have a master's in college student personnel administration, which is heavy communications, heavy psych, that's the type of degree it was. My first job, I was working at a college, and the orientation director came up to me and she said, "You know, Coleman, you're remotely charismatic. Would you put together a program on relationships? We'll call it whatever you want." And so I called it Creative Dating. It was called Creative Dating, and I did it, and people loved it. And then I went to a conference later that year, and I did it again, and people from all over the country walked up and said, "Here's our business card. If you come and do this, we'll pay you." And my wife at the time looked at me and said, you know, you really are becoming a dating doctor. And that's where it came from.
Oh, that's wonderful. Because that's such an easy brand to remember. And it just really truly describes what you do. Now, when you wrote your first book, Making Relationships Matter, which is in its second printing, how long did it take you to write that book? And tell us a little, give us a little summary of what people will find in Making Relationships Matter.
Sure. I wrote that book in days. And I'll tell you why it happened. It really only took about 2 to 3 weeks, I would say, because if you remember back when 9/11 hit, and those of us that are old enough to remember 9/11, the couple of days after, and even the couple of weeks after 9/11, people were united. There was no Democrat, there was no Republican, there was no black, there was no white, there was no Hispanic. People couldn't do enough for each other because we were all Americans, and we were being under attack, and we were helping each other. So I said, why aren't we living every day of our lives like this? Why can't we make relationships matter like this every single day? Why did it take one of the worst tragedies in our nation's history to get us like this? And so I said, I'm going to write a book that tells us how to live our life every single day like this without the need for 9/11 to precede it. And that's where the book came from. And it's about being more committed, more loyal, how to be a person of character, the types of things you want out of relationships are the types of things that you have to put in. How do you do that? What I think people like about my seminars and what they like about my books and my materials are they can literally put things into action that day.
Okay.
It's not
pilot
sky stuff. They can activate things that day. Yeah. And that's what I try to do.
That's fantastic because that's so big to give people something they can walk out and do right away. No big deal. Keep it simple. And that's certainly what people want to hear. These times we're going through are so confusing, aren't they?
They are because never have we been in a more open situation with social media, with the internet. Everyone wants immediate gratification. They want immediate. They want the type of love language. Do they want praise? Do they want a reward? Do they want a picture? Do they want someone to hop on social media and go, "Hey, good for you, great new relationship." And then you've got people who still maybe want the opposite sex, but the opposite sex member that they're looking for said, "Sorry, I'm not interested. I date within my own sex." You've got interesting parameters in this world, in this country right now that are really confusing the heck out of people, and they are clients of mine. They are people in my seminars. They come up after my shows and they go, I am in love with her, but she's in love with her. What do I do?
Oh, dear. And that's happening more and more. You know, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with the Entertainer of the Year 2011, The Dating Doctor. And when we're going to come back, David is going to share with us some thoughts on how you can date smart. We'll be right back.
Do you want to learn how to live into your dreams? One Door Closes, Overcoming Adversity by Following Your Dreams. The new book by Tom Ingracia and Jared Kredemski captures the thought-provoking stories of 16 people from all walks of life who have triumphed over adversity to achieve their goals. Plus, you'll get 10 self-assessment tools to design your own blueprint for success. Unlock your true potential. Fulfill your dreams. Be inspired. One Door Closes is available from Amazon.com. Everyone deserves a happy life. Life is supposed to be fun. Your life is supposed to feel good, and you're meant to feel happiness in your life and to satisfy your dreams. And you can. Because the only reason anyone wants anything or does anything is that they think they will feel better in the having of it or the doing of it. They think they will feel better in the experiencing of it. Coming soon, a website where you can learn more on how you can have the life you deserve at afeelgoodworld.com.
Well, I'm pleased to announce that Dale Bruner was on our show earlier this month, and all of his interviews are archived at iHeartRadio. Also, Tom and Jared Kerminski, they will be on the show at the end of the month. I'm now visiting with the dating doctor, David Coleman, and he has been featured in such publications as U.S. Magazine, Glamour, Celebrity Living, Mademoiselle, Woman's World, Cosmopolitan, USA Today, Wall Street Journal, The Washington Post, and The New York Times. He has been featured on CNN, as well as all major television networks and hundreds of radio stations nationwide. And we are so pleased to be able to share you, David, with our listeners. Now, let's talk a little bit about what advice do you have for young people or older people about how to date smart?
Basically, I'm hoping that people will learn a couple simple rules that will help them in their relationships. Never mistake love with infatuation. That's a big one now. People see each other. You know, you have apps like Tinder, and you've got all these dating sites. You've got Match.com, you've got eHarmony. A person's profile or picture might pop up, and you hear people go, I'm in love. Mm-hmm. You're not in love. You might be in lust, and there might be infatuation, but there are types of love that you have to feel for somebody else, or it's not really love. So I try to get people to back off the immediate gratification that everybody wants right now, number one. Mm-hmm. And number two, there's something I share in my books and in my seminars, which is called the five-minute find. It's called the ABCs of initial interest, and it's how to tell if someone's worth pursuing, just pursuing.
Okay.
In 5 minutes or less.
Okay, and it's called ABCs, okay. Could you share a little bit
really
about
quickly. That? Yeah, sure. It's an ABC and a D, and it's really simple.
Yeah.
So you meet
yeah.
someone for the first time, and there's some interaction going on. What can you say to yourself? How do you know? The first thing is attraction. The A is attraction. They don't have to be drop-dead gorgeous, but they shouldn't be repulsive to you either. You shouldn't feel the need to run away in fear.
Yeah.
The B stands for believability. The words coming out of their mouth, the way they're delivering the message, is it believable to you? Does it seem sincere and genuine, honest and truthful? Or does it feel like they're fabricating or lying or basically trying to top what you're saying? The C stands for chemistry. Chemistry is every type of attraction for someone except physical. Could they put a smile on your face? Could they make you laugh? Was eye contact easy to maintain? Did you kind of wish that time would slow down because you were enjoying their presence? It's chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And the D stands for desire. It's sort of the desire to get to know more about them, to get to know them better. So if you're standing in front of someone and go, am I attractive? Yeah. Am I attracted to them? Yeah. And do I believe them so far? Is there chemistry? I think so. Is there desire? I think so. Then give it a shot. A date.
Yeah.
Keep a date an hour or two, something like that.
What? Now, this all, there's a lot of this online dating. What are your thoughts about it? It seems like I can't believe the people I meet, and even in older people my age who meet online, it's a pretty popular thing to do now, isn't it?
I'm a pretty big fan of it because I am getting married about 30 days from right now to someone I met online.
Okay. So
people say all the time, you know, why was the dating doctor dating online? Because, and you know this, you met me in Vincennes, Indiana. I live in Cincinnati, Ohio. I travel 200 days a year, and I was meeting people all over the country, but I wasn't meeting people at home. So I put up a very specific profile for a very specific amount of time, and I said, look, we might be perfect for each other, but if we do not live within 30 minutes of each other, we'll just have to pass. And I got incredibly lucky and met a woman that only lived 10 minutes away. We would have probably never met each other because of different lifestyles at the time. And there are some major mistakes people make online. If you want, we can cover a couple of those that will help people who are dating online. But in this day and age, if you have a Facebook profile, you're dating online. If you have a Twitter account, you're dating online. If you have Instagram or Snapchat, you're dating. You are. Are you showing pictures of yourself on a daily basis? Yes. Are you sharing your personality? Yes. Can someone look at any of that and go, whoa? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference? They're seeing you socially, and they're seeing you at the pace that they want to see you.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they have a chance to meet you right there and then if they play their cards right.
Yeah, they just need to connect with you. And what a testimonial you're giving. And I certainly can relate to what you said about people being geographically undesirable, because if they're not close to you, you're never going to actually get to take them for that first cup of coffee. Now, do you recommend people do the meet in the coffee shop, or how do you suggest people dating online? What do you think they should do what did you do for your first date?
First date, ours was pretty special. Let me answer the question first so I'll remember my first date because it'll be easy. But the first thing I do suggest to people is that they have a little bit of banter online back and forth, whether it's emailing or whatever that might be, and that they are going to meet. Their first date should be in a highly public place scheduled for no more than an hour. If that hour goes by in an instant, you can always do something else. If you set up a dinner date and a movie and then we're going to go here for dessert, it could be a 7-hour torture chamber.
You
keep your first date really, really brief and let you kind of see if the magic is there. And if it is, then spend more magical time together. My family and I were on vacation on Hilton Head Island, and we had a 13-hour drive back. And I said to my the young lady that I met online, her name is Tina, my fiance, and I said, "Look, if I can make it back in time, let's meet." And I said, "Heck, we're going to do it." And didn't you know we hit traffic? And by the time we got back, it was 10 o'clock. I hopped out of the car, I ran the house, I took a shower, and we met at a place called the Melting Pot, which is a fondue restaurant. But they were just about to close, so we ended up going to another place. And by the time the evening went by, we had spent 4, 5, 6 hours together. We'd been talking online for a couple of weeks. And we looked at our watch and went, "It's 4 a.m. And that was a good sign.
Yeah, that's magic, isn't it?
It was. It was quick. And I think we both kind of, I'm not a big fan of love at first sight. I don't believe in that principle, but it was pretty deep like at first sight.
And I did meet lovely Tina when I was back in Vincennes, and you are a fabulous couple, and congratulations on your upcoming wedding. How long were you engaged? How long were you engaged to each other?
We've been engaged probably 6-7 months or so. Neither one of us are big. We're very realistic, down to earth. Other people don't dictate what we say or do, and we're not big fans of long engagements, so it was about 6 or 7 months ago.
Okay, and now she's able to travel with you, because I know she was there at the conference, and that must be fun to have someone to share your life with on the road.
It's not just that, and she does travel with me some when the situation allows, but she's also a brilliant marketing person. She knows internet commerce very well. She's what she's added to my life and my career, I can't even put into words. So to find someone that I love and I'm attracted enough to marry who's also that talented, it's a remarkable find.
Oh, yeah. You are so blessed, dear. Now, your book, 101 Great Dates. Is this composed of suggestions for people, things to do on a date?
Yes. You know where that idea came from?
I love it.
when I was a student activities director at a college, it was a Friday afternoon, and we didn't have an activity that night. And I looked at all the students that were in my office, because I was kind of one of the more popular leadership team people. And I said, "What are you guys all doing tonight?" And they said, we're just going to go to blah, 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 which is this pit of a bar. You wouldn't spend 10 minutes in there without your skin crawling, and you have to get out of the place. I said, "Why is that what you're doing?" They go, "Well, we don't have any idea what to do. Challenge us." And I did. And so I wrote a book called 101 Great Dates, and it's on every page it tells you what the dating idea is, what you need to pull it off, what the date looks like, and what you do to follow it up.
Wow, this sounds very similar. You know, my book, Thou Shalt Not Wine, The 11th Commandment, we have over 100 ways to stop whining.
Beautiful. So yeah, I love the fact that that's a beautiful thing. I'm glad you wrote the book. I hope it's successful, and I hope people quit whining, because it's just taking up time, keeping them where they are, instead of moving forward with no answer in sight. So good for you.
Yeah, well, it was fun doing the research. But give us an example of some unique, we only have 2 minutes, unique great dates.
Okay. The first one would be go hunting without a camera, go hunting without a gun, but use a camera. So you're going to go out together in the nature, and you're going to hunt for things. You're going to look for a rare bird. You're going to look for, "Oh, my gosh, that's a hedgehog. I can't believe it." And instead of shooting these creatures, "There's a deer. Can you believe it? Oh, my gosh." Instead of shooting them, which, you know, leave that to the people that hunt, and the people that hunt, okay, good for them. But just take a picture of it. Come back. Share these things. It's you spending time together doing something wonderful. And then I have another wonderful idea that I think is fun. It's just simply called Godfather Day. You've got the Godfather trilogy. You get up together. You make spaghetti sauce from scratch. You make everything you need from scratch. You invite some friends over. You go from one to the other. And if you're ever in Italy, you'll notice that they have 6-course meals. They eat them backward. The last thing they eat is salad. And so you have an authentically original Italian day. Watch the Godfather trilogy, eat, and then just fall asleep, because you're going to be too full to move.
Oh, that sounds like just so much fun. You know, when we come back from our break with the dating doctor, we're going to get a few more suggestions for some unique dates. And also, I want to talk with him about the story that he had featured in Chicken Soup for the College Soul and some of his college stories. We'll be right back with David Coleman.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes? People who have priceless personalities? In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available. 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions.
Are you a fitness professional, a trainer, or a coach? Would you like consistent and timely updates on your team's performance? We have a completely customizable app that can give you real-time information via the internet or your handheld phone. Track the performance of your client's progress with their physical fitness regimen. Track team members' performance or schedule a workout session. Meet up at the gym, on the bike trail, or wherever your physical activities take you. The app is called Socially Fit, or SoFit, and can be found on the iTunes Store. Look for the blue Socially Fit icon. When combined with data analysis capabilities, you not only feel the effects of your fitness routine, you also see the graphical progress of your results. The app makes the complex simple, so that more of your time is spent sculpting your physique, with less time tracking your results with old-fashioned pen and paper. Download it today to begin a new year with data to show your progress in meeting your goals. Are you socially fit?
Well, I hope if you aren't socially fit that you will become socially fit this year. And I'm pleased to welcome back a very priceless personality, David Coleman, the dating doctor. And you know, David has spoken to more than 2 million people in all 50 states, Canada, and Europe, and another 20 million through his appearances on radio, television, and in print. This is such a fascinating career that you've crafted for yourself. What did your family think when it took off like this?
I think everyone was caught by surprise because when I first started doing this, there was really nobody else doing what I was doing. Dr. Phil had not come on the scene yet. The only person really doing what I was doing was Dr. Ruth at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously, I'm not Dr. Ruth. I have a different look. I have a different style. So it truly exploded. And when my children were a little bit younger, one of the first major conferences they went to with me, I was a keynote speaker. And afterwards, people wanted books and CDs and DVDs. And they wanted my autograph. And my children looked at me and said, Dad, they want your autograph? What? It was priceless and precious. And they still say that to this day. So some things never change.
Oh, that's wonderful. Before we go on, could you share your website information and share with our listeners
sure.
how they can contact you to have you speak at their events?
Sure, that's very kind of you. My website is www.datingdoctor.com, and it's spelled out DatingDoctor.com. Within the next month, a brand new, beautiful, user-friendly website will be going on live, so I cannot wait to be able to tell you that that's up. It'll be within the next 30 days for sure. We're looking at July 1st. As a date for that. And then I have a wonderful agent. Her name is Brooke Sines, S-I-N-E-S, and I have a fun phone number. It's 866-DATE-SMART. 866-328-3762. So it's 866-DATE-SMART. And I speak in all genres. I do everything from high school to college to major corporations. I was the featured speaker at the Purina National Convention in Vegas a few weeks ago. And I also entertain our troops all over the world. The programs I do for corporate America are really fun because, for the most part, corporations tell me they have speakers who come in who are boring, they don't really help. And what I do is a lot of fun and extremely helpful. So I love doing it.
Well, it's a wonderful combination because you're not only giving out information, valuable information and amazing inspiration, you're humorous and entertaining and you're making the audience sit back and laugh and smile.
It doesn't get any better than that, does it? I don't have to tell you this. You're a humorist. You have a national show. You're extremely successful. When number one, you see a light bulb go off in someone's head, and number two, they're laughing uncontrollably at the same time, and you can just tell that they enjoyed learning. The motto that I have for my career is, where is it said that learning can't be fun and entertainment can't be life-changing? And that's what I try to do every day.
Oh, you do such a great job. Now, I want to go back and pick up on some more unique dates because I love those two ideas. You know, the going hunting without a gun, that would be like so many people go to Africa and they go on photography safaris, which is the same principle.
Right.
I need to ask you, in your flyer, you have something about people with issues about sexual enhancement. Can you briefly touch on that?
Sure. I mean, it's funny in today's world that some men, they still take it as a personal attack if they have to take, you know, Viagra or Cialis or any of those types of enhancements. And, you know, if they really still feel that way, it's all about two people bringing incredible pleasure to each other and the types of love. You know, you're not just physically touching each other. There's words, there's thoughts, there's actions that go into this. And depending on, you know, I have some clients who are on antidepressants, and that can knock out their libido, and then they have their libido fighting them. But if people need every once in a while to take an enhancement that helps them because they have some type of physical restriction or their own metabolism doesn't allow them to be as romantic at times they would like to be, I'm all for it. But I do think you have to go to your medical doctor and make sure that your own body's ready for it. And any other types of meds you're on, there's no, you know, chance for anything negative to happen because two drugs are being mixed. But if people need it, use it. Use it in moderation. It doesn't mean you use it every night. It doesn't mean that it has to become habit forming.
Well, you know, it's such an amazing time to be alive with the, well, first of all, with the internet and all of this explosion and all the social networking. But some of these medical things, just 20, 30 years ago, they were not even thought of. People didn't even have that option. So in my opinion, I agree with you. If it's out there, it's something to consider. And if it makes your life better, why not?
You know, I have all kinds of clients. Some love to use, you know, medical types of enhancements. Others love to visit adult toy stores and bring things home as a couple, whether it's a game, whether it's a video, whether it's something that they think, oh, my gosh, that might be really fun. It depends on every couple. And, you know, here's the thing that I said at AATH, and I still believe this. If you can't talk about sex and you can't laugh about sex, you shouldn't be having sex.
Okay. That is, I remember you saying that, and it is so true. What perfect advice for people. I love that.
I honestly believe that a couple should break into laughter, almost tears, every single time at some point while they're making love. Not necessarily at the beginning or the end when certain things are, but sometime along the way, they should be having so much fun. One of them said something so funny that they're almost in tears. And you know what happens. You're a humorist. When people laugh, it releases endorphins throughout their body. The body's natural morphine kicks in, and you're like, wow, what a feeling of euphoria. What better time to have that happen than during sex?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, in my book, we have one of the cures for whining is a very simple cure, and it's simply called the smile cure. Now, if someone's whining and you keep smiling at them, guess what? Eventually, they can't keep it up.
Yeah. Or they'll at least look at you and go, you're not buying this, are you? And you're sick of me talking like this, aren't you? And I'll look at them and go, just smile with me for a minute. Let's play this back. Let me tell you what you just said to me for the past 4 minutes, and I'll go, wow, that really came out of my mouth? Yeah, all right, let's go.
Yeah, so true, so true. Well, you know, I was celebrating 44 years of marriage this year, and as far as sexual enhancements, I think some of the most sexual things you can do are the sweet, gentle things, the special things that make that experience so special, and it can go on and on. It doesn't matter how old you are. Don't you agree?
I completely agree, and that's all I need to know about your husband. If he can stay married to a woman like you, whose humor and positivity and growing every day and helping people every day is part of your life, that tells me all I need to know about him and his ability to be the right partner for you. But I completely and totally agree with what you just said.
Yeah, well, he's a pretty special guy, and I'm a pretty lucky gal. And I know you know what that's like now that you found your special person.
No,
briefly,
I've outpicked my coverage, that's for sure.
Yeah. Briefly share a little bit about this article you wrote, the story that was featured in Chicken Soup for the College Soul, David. I love that series.
It happened, a young man famous, Kevin Randall, that I wrote the story with, and we met when I was a little bit younger. He was a student leader, and I was his advisor, and we met up in Michigan when I was doing the resort work, and he had an amazing experience that we wrote together, and he knew that if we wrote it together, it had a much better chance of being in the book, and it got in.
Mm-hmm.
I've been told
mm-hmm.
by the Chicken Soup people it's one of the most requested copied stories of any of the books in any of their books. But
wow.
he was at camp. It's called The Boy Under the Tree, and
mm-hmm.
he was at camp, and on the first day of camp, all the counselors are watching all the students, and they're teaching them all the camp songs. And he looked over, and this one young man was sitting under a tree, didn't want to come over and participate. So he sat down and goes, "Hey, what's your name? Hi, my name's Tommy. Do you want to come over?" And goes, "No, I'm really enjoying myself. But can I just stay here?" And Kevin's like, "Sure, great." The next
mm-hmm.
day, there's a camp, counselor meeting. He said, "Now, everybody watch out for Tommy. He's a little bit shy. He doesn't want to be a participant." And sure enough, the next day, there's another activity. He's sitting under a tree. And they watch him and they sit down and talk to him, but they didn't force him to be a part of the activities.
Uh-huh.
Two weeks go by, and the last night is the sock hop. And my friend Kevin walks down toward the sock hop, and here's a big circle of the students. They're clapping and dancing. And in the middle of that circle is Tommy. He's dancing. He took his coat off like in Saturday Night Fever. He was like the man. And it was just, he gave him a big hug and sent him on his way. And a couple of months later, Kevin's phone rang, and it was a lady he'd never heard from before, and she said, "Hi, this is Kevin, yes." And, "Hi, you don't know me, but I'm Tommy's mom, Tommy from camp." "Oh, yeah, how is Tommy?" And she said, "I'm sorry to tell you, he got hit by a drunk driver the other day walking home from school, and he was killed."
And
Kevin said, "Oh, my gosh, we are so sorry to hear that. He is one of our favorite young men from camp." And she said, "That's why I'm calling you." She said, "When he came back from camp, he was a different person. He went on his first date. He joined things at school that he had never joined before." She said, "The last few months of his life were the best few best few months of his life, and I think that's directly attributed to you, everyone at camp, and I cannot thank you enough." And so now whenever I go do talks where I'm doing leadership training or the orientation season on college campuses or at high schools, you have to look for the boy and the girl under the tree. Who's out on the distance? Who's on the periphery looking in? Who simply needs to be acknowledged and understood where they are, not where you want to force them to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, what a special story. Thank you for sharing that, because so often the shy ones are the ones who have the real, real problems. And we're seeing this manifesting itself in society. The ones who are outside the box looking in are the ones who are having difficult adjustments. You know, David, I just wanted to share with some of our younger listeners what a sock hop is, because I think some of these younger people wouldn't know what that is. And this is something that we did in the Midwest. I was raised in Michigan, and I don't know if they did it in the rest of the country, but because these gymnasiums had such beautiful floor for the basketball teams, you couldn't walk on them with shoes. So all the teenagers would go there and take off our shoes, and we'd dance in our socks. And it was probably the most fun in the world. I have fond memories of sock hops.
The only bad memories I have of sock hops is I would be near. This would be true every single time. I would be standing next to a young lady I would not want to dance with right at the moment Stairway to Heaven came on, which is the longest song in the human race. And I would end up dancing to Stairway to Heaven. It gets fast. It gets slow. You don't know what to do.
Oh, yeah. I think we all have those memories. And the other one was trying to find your shoes when it was all over. You know, we're going to take a break and hear from our sponsors. And then when we come back, David Coleman's going to share with us what success means to him today as we speak here on our show. And if he has any regrets or special advice for you, we'll be right back.
Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com. What is AATH? The Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor is a nonprofit, member-driven, international community of humor and laughter professionals and enthusiasts. AATH provides its members the education, cutting-edge resources, and supportive community they need to excel in the practice and promotion of healthy humor. AATH welcomes anyone who is interested in learning more about the application and benefits of therapeutic humor. Members include scholars, psychologists, counselors, nurses, social workers, physicians, educators, clergy, hospital clowns, and many others who incorporate humor in their life and work. AATH was created to disseminate information about humor and laughter, laughter play and well-being, provide a caring, supportive community of humor professionals and enthusiasts. Check out our AATH at www.aath.org today.
Welcome back with our adorable guest, David Coleman, the dating doctor. You know, David received a national service citation from President George Bush and has served as spokesperson for Microsoft Streets and Trips campaign, Abbott Labs Humira campaign, English Leather Cologne, and Coca-Cola's Fuse Black and Green Tea. David, let's talk about what success means to you today as we speak.
Sure. It's a really simple formula that I use. And I think the key to life is to learn to do something you love, learn to do it well enough that someone will pay you well to do it. That's simply what I try to do my whole life. Find something I love to do. I'm the dating. Look what I get to do. I help people have better lives. I help them meet the people they want to meet. I help them get out of bad relationships and effort gracefully, turn their lives around, and maximize their strengths, limit their limitations, and I get paid to do that. I get paid to see a smile. I get paid to hear someone say thank you. I get paid to comfort someone who's hurting. And if you do it well enough and you can do it long enough, I don't see how that isn't being as successful as you can possibly be in life. And I have a couple things I just do personally that I just want to always pay my commitments on time. I help put money away for the future, put a roof over my family's head, nutritious meals in their bodies, surround them with loving pets, and create caring, loving family memories. That's what success is to me.
Oh, boy. You sure are on the same page as me. And the other thing I love about your successful life is that you take time to be a prolific writer and share what you have for others. And that is, I know it's difficult to get books. Of course, you probably write your books much quicker than I do, but isn't it quite an amazing process and a real sense of fulfillment every time you do a book?
I have to say yes, and I have to thank my older sister, Gail. Again, she's 13 years older than I am, and when I was a younger guy, I was just like every boy back then. I was into every sport. I was lucky enough to be a pretty decent athlete, so I was playing sport after sport after sport, and she said, oh, no, no, come here. You're not going to grow up one-dimensional. And so by the time I was 8, 9, or 10 years old, she had made me read works from some of the top authors of the time. She made sure that I knew the difference between Brahms and Bach and Beethoven. She gave me a cultural performing arts side to my life that complemented my athletic side, or there's no way I would be able to write a book or the number of books I've written or the DVD. So if I didn't have her as a sister, I'm not quite sure what I'd be doing, but I don't think it would be this.
What a gift she gave you. I hope she is still around to be so proud of you.
She is, and I think she's probably my number one fan. And, you know, there was a critical point in time when our parents were very ill, both of them. And, you know, it was probably looking like I would probably stay and take care of my parents and stop doing what I was doing. She said, absolutely not. And she and her partner did. And it allowed me to develop my career. And so for the rest of the days that she is on this planet, I could never repay her for her kindness.
Oh, what a wonderful story to share. Thank you. And now we have just a couple of, 1 or 2 minutes. Do you have any regrets or things you wish you could do over?
I think the regret that anyone has who does what I or we do for a living is the number of days I've been absent from my family's life. I've averaged 150 to 200 shows a year for 20-some years. So literally every year, I've been gone, but my daughters have both said to me that they feel closer to me than 99% of the friends they have feel toward their father, because even though they might work and come home in the same city, they don't spend quality time, they don't focus, they don't make each other a priority, and when I am home, my children and Tina are my world. So, you know, I think things even out.
I think they do. And, you know, my situation is very similar to yours in that my husband is a retired airline captain. And so he was gone a lot, as you know, what the airline industry is like. And people say, how did you have such a successful marriage and such well-adjusted children? And I always say, well, it's because he was gone half the time.
And the other part of it is, sometimes, and you know this as well as I do, people who see each other every day begin to take each other and their circumstance for granted. We never had that opportunity. You could never take each other for granted. And also people who travel like we do, I always made sure that every separation was on an incredibly positive note, because you never know.
Well, that is so true to share that. My first husband was killed in an airplane crash when I was 25 years old. So like you, I know that it's always important to say goodbye with love and with wonderful memories. That's such great advice you're sharing. David, it's been great having you on the show, and I hope you will come back many, many times in the future.
It was a pleasure to be on, and the answer to that question is yes, 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 yes.
Okay. To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed this show today. Isn't he amazing? You know, all of my upcoming guests will also amaze, amuse, and astonish you just like David did today. This is a show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful too. I would love to welcome you to our No Whining World. We love sharing our stories, our struggles, and our secrets for success. It's our hope we can encourage all of you to emulate our guests. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, my dear friends, please stop with the whining and then start smiling and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest, the Dating Doctor. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Story. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.
Thank you. I should read these cards because it will tell you what you're thinking.
Oh, Whoa. that little box. There it is.
Thank you.
And I used to like to know it. Little,
oh, yeah,
bigger
yeah.
than like Christmas village.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. I wonder if they even have frozen yogurt.
Is that a mirror?
I'm just going to rest. Thank you. his showers over there.
Thank you.
Put your faces